Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.
The African middle class is of huge interest to business. This was confirmed again recently by well-attended seminars in South Africa's big cities to discuss Africa. The narrow focus of the study is guided by particular interest and echoes a poorly informed narrative about the structure of societies in Africa. Online is Henning Melba, Extraordinary Professor, Department of Political Sciences, University of Pretoria. Professor Melba, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Shafiq, and have a good afternoon to you and the listeners.
Thank you very much. In fact, this very strange statement, the African middle class, does it exist?
Well, it obviously does. I just listened to some of your advertisements, and the last one advertised a trip to Malaysia and Dubai for 10 nights as a special offer for barely 25,000 rand, and I was wondering, well, who except members of a middle class would seriously be able to consider booking such a trip, even if it's a special offer, as they emphasized. So obviously some people out there would qualify as a middle class, but the big question is, what are the criteria, and is it only based on the number of rands they have in their pockets and their security? So it's a big issue, and it is too commercialized, and that's part of the critical analysis of the article, to say there's a tendency that the middle class, however you define it, is the object of desire by commercial interests, but we should actually have a much closer look and try to properly analyze class and think, what is it about, what makes them tick, are they a politically relevant factor, and all those other related matters.
So would you argue then that somebody coming up and just blandly saying African middle class hasn't looked at the details, they're not being specific enough?
That's one of the criticisms, yes, and especially from a scholarly perspective, where increasingly scholars say, let's dig a bit deeper and really explore what are the factors that would contribute to the definition of a middle class. And it's not only income, there is something that is called awareness or consciousness, there's even something that is called class awareness. So how do they position these members? And most likely they are not uniform. So only judging them by the potential money that is there that could be spent in shopping malls or for other consumer items or such travels, it's a highly reduced perspective, and it does not at all ask the question how relevant could be this middle class for socio-political developments in a country.
Yeah, I mean, I like your allusion to the shopping mall focus, and you know, which is a very, very narrow one indeed. Do you think that we need to really, really understand what on earth we're talking about here? Because middle class can mean absolutely anything, can't it?
Absolutely, Shafiq. And I would strongly recommend that also policymakers are starting to reflect a bit deeper on social segments of society. And we had market shifts in South Africa. There is a growing segment of society which, on the basis of monetary income, has a living standard where one could say this is middle class, but that doesn't say anything about their politics. And there was a warning light flickering at the last year's municipal elections, because we could see there were segments of that ominous social class which repositioned themselves politically. So I think these are the real questions. For example, is a growing part of society with a higher income willing to pay higher taxes as a part of a social contract to invest in stability? How do they position themselves politically? And what is their political awareness generally? And these are questions that are not even asked with these commercialized surveys into the so-called middle class, where, as I said, the only interest is how much purchasing power is out there and how can we get it to be spent on our items.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to become a very naked question of disposable income. And as you so correctly point out, the most disconcerting thing about it is the total lack of context. Let me give a very crude example. Somebody from a family that has just been recently empowered during apartheid, they were black, they had no rights. When they buy a washing machine, for example, how many people are going to use it as opposed to somebody who was previously franchised? Maybe two people will use the white washing machine. Maybe 12 will use the black washing machine, to make a very, very crude kind of analogy.
That's one issue. But of course, if there is purchasing power, one shouldn't accuse the people that they buy exactly the products of a lifestyle they also find desirable. But the other thing is that beyond that, we can also see that part of that desired lifestyle is based purely on loans. Mm-hmm. How many people who drive upper middle class cars or even Porsche cars have paid them? How many live in upper market suburbia in houses or in flats which they have really paid? How many can plan for the future beyond the next paycheck? So we also talk about a kind of an almost a monstrosity which is made up because it's not sustainable. We are talking about a so-called middle class which actually lives just for the next day. There's no security, and that applies to large parts, especially of the new black middle class who gained access to positions through the state, through the public service, and they deserve it. I'm not arguing against it, but it's a kind of a almost artificial look at a middle class, and it's not truly anchored in proper class structures.
A final question. Do you think part of the problem, number one, there is no savings regime in South Africa. We're the worst savers in the world. And number two, we have very little what people would call historical wealth to fall back on if there are hard times.
Yeah, that's exactly part of the issue I tried to say. You articulated it much better. You are the professional, but that's exactly the point. We are talking about something which is not properly anchored and rooted in the society as a reliable category. So we should not be misled that this is now a new factor which we have explored sufficiently. No, we are just at the beginning, and we should do our analysis, social analysis, as proper homework to then define what are we actually talking about.
Professor Henning Melba, Department of Political Sciences, University of Pretoria, as always, thanks for chatting to us. Enjoy the week.
I thank you, Shafiq, and have a nice day.